Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The verdict in the R. Kelly trial here in New York City. Singer R. Kelly guilty on all counts, charged with sex trafficking and racketeering amid decades of allegations of sexual misconduct with minors. The jury deliberating just 9 hours. He now faces decades in prison. The coronavirus and President Biden today receiving his Pfizer booster shot as tens of thousands of Americans eligible for their booster now line up. Tonight, if you got Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, what is the timeline for boosters for you? And how soon could there be shots for children 5 to 11? Multiple high-stakes showdowns on Capitol Hill, the House with crucial make-or-break votes on President Biden's domestic agenda, two separate infrastructure bills, and all of this with a potential government shutdown now looming. Rachel Scott with late reporting from the Hill. And tonight, our Robin Roberts with former President Obama. Will the Democrats unite in this moment? And what about the price tag? What the former president told Robin. Also tonight, the urgent manhunt for a former Marine wanted for allegedly shooting and killing a sheriff's deputy in Florida. Authorities tonight with a warning. New reporting on the deadly Amtrak derailment. Three people killed, dozens injured. Tonight, the new clues now with the NTSB on the ground there. News tonight on the man who shot former President Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., now granted his unconditional release. And the Reagan Library is already responding tonight. The moving moment, the Rolling Stones paying tribute. And there is news coming in right now involving North Korea, reports involving what could be their latest provocation.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we start another week together. News on the coronavirus tonight, the booster shots, the timeline moving forward, the president getting his shot. And if you didn't get Pfizer, the Pfizer vaccine as well. We'll have it all tonight. But we're going to begin this hour with the guilty verdict on all counts for singer R. Kelly in a federal court here in New York. After just 9 hours of deliberations, the jury found the singer guilty on all 9 federal counts he faced, including racketeering and sex trafficking. Prosecutors accusing him of leading a criminal enterprise of managers, bodyguards, and other employees to recruit and abuse women, underage girls, and a teenage boy. R. Kelly, one of the best-selling singers of all time, authorities believe for years protected by his fame. In the 2019 docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, a number of alleged victims accusing him of abuse. Investigations followed a federal judge ordering Kelly to jail more than 2 years ago. And tonight, after a 6-week trial and 50 witnesses, a swift verdict from the jury of 7 men and 5 women. ABC's Stephanie Ramos leading us off right here in New York.
Tonight, after decades of suspicion and allegations, it took just 9 hours of deliberation for a Brooklyn jury to find R&B singer R. Kelly guilty on all counts. The singer facing decades in prison for 8 counts of sex trafficking and 1 count of racketeering, alleging Kelly was the leader of an enterprise made up of individuals who would, quote, recruit women and girls to engage in illegal sexual activity with Kelly, arranging for them to travel to concerts throughout the United States.
Today's guilty verdict forever brands R. Kelly as a predator who used his fame and fortune to prey on the young, the vulnerable, and the voiceless for his own sexual gratification. To the victims in this case, your voices were heard and justice was finally served.
Over the course of 6 weeks, jurors hearing testimony from 50 witnesses, some of them victims. Gloria Allred represents several of the witnesses.
I have been practicing law for 47 years. During this time, I have pursued many sexual predators who have committed crimes against women and children. Of all the predators that I have pursued, however, Mr. Kelly is the worst.
During the trial, Kelly's defense team alleging that accusers were just jilted lovers. Tonight, his lawyers saying they plan to appeal today's decision.
Of course, Mr. Kelly is disappointed. He was not anticipating this verdict because, based on the evidence, why should he anticipate this verdict?
Kelly also facing a slew of other state and federal charges in multiple states stemming from abuse allegations. Kelly has long denied all accusations of sexual misconduct and claimed his innocence in a testy 2019 interview on CBS This Morning.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
R. Kelly is scheduled to be sentenced May 4th of 2022. Prosecutors today said Kelly faces a mandatory minimum of 10 years behind bars and up to life in prison, David.
Stephanie Ramos leading us off here on a Monday night. Stephanie, thank you. We're going to turn now to the pandemic. President Biden getting his Pfizer booster shot today. The First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, getting her booster, too, as thousands of Americans now line up. In fact, millions are now eligible for these boosters. President Biden rolling up his sleeve 8 months after his second shot and making a new plea today to the unvaccinated to get that first shot. And the concern over children back at school, more than 200,000 new cases involving children last week. So tonight here, what is the timeline for that Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11? News on when Pfizer will send their data to the FDA. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
8 months after getting his second Pfizer shot, President Biden rolling up his sleeve today for a vaccine booster.
Did you have any side effects with the second shot, Mr. President?
No, I haven't any side effects the first or the second shot. Thank goodness.
Since the CDC gave the green light on Friday, thousands of newly eligible Americans lining up for a third Pfizer shot. But the 83 million people who received Moderna or Johnson & Johnson vaccines will need to wait a few more weeks for the FDA to review data on those booster shots. In the meantime, the CDC director says the vaccines are still working well.
This is a very slow wane. There is no urgency here to go and get your booster immediately. You know, walk, don't run to your booster appointment, and we will come and get look at the data for Moderna and J&J in very short order.
It comes as New York's vaccine mandate faces a critical test.
We will not comply.
Tens of thousands of healthcare workers across the state risk losing their jobs if they refuse to get vaccinated by a midnight deadline. 16% of New York's healthcare workers are still unvaccinated.
It's terrifying to me what's going to happen. The waits in ERs, the lack of care, the long waits for bells to be answered.
But New York's governor ready to send in the National Guard and replacement healthcare workers.
You need to be assured that the person taking care of you is not going to give COVID to you or your newborn. Can't we just say that that is a basic right that everyone has?
This as children across the country are still getting infected with COVID at an alarming rate. But shots for younger children are on the horizon. Pfizer now planning to submit its trial data for kids ages 5 to 11 within days. Authorization could come by the end of October.
We are all enthusiastically awaiting these data. It will go from the FDA to the CDC, and we will review it with similar urgency, and I'm hoping in the order of weeks.
And tonight, some welcome news after a COVID scare on the set of The View on Friday. Co-host Sunny Hostin and guest host Ana Navarro, who are fully vaccinated, were told to leave the set after a positive test result moments before they were to welcome the vice president. Over the weekend, they learned those results were inaccurate.
And I am thrilled to report that Sunny and Ana's Friday results turned out to be false positives, and everyone is safe, healthy, and COVID-free.
That is good news. It simply reflects what so many millions of Americans have gone through with these tests all along the way. And I want to bring in Eva now. I want to get back to children and Pfizer's plan to submit this trial data because it's crucial. 5 to 11 years old. They say they're going to submit it within days. So how quickly could all of this move?
We're being told within weeks, not months, David. And when Pfizer comes out with this new data, we expect to learn specific numbers about how effective the vaccine is within this age group. We already know that 5 to 11-year-olds will get one-third of the adult dose. David.
Eva Pilgrim with us again tonight. Thank you, Eva. Now to those high-stakes showdowns on Capitol Hill this week on President Biden's domestic agenda. The House was supposed to vote on that $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill today. Speaker Pelosi now says that will happen on Thursday. Progressive Democrats want a deal on the other much larger bill as well before they go along with this bipartisan bill. And all of this with a potential government shutdown looming as well. Rachel Scott with late reporting again tonight from the Hill.
With his entire agenda on the line, President Biden today optimistic Democrats will deliver.
You know me, I'm a born optimist. I think things are going to go well. I think we're going to get it done.
The House was set to vote on the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill today, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi has now pushed it off to Thursday.
Speaker Pelosi, will you have the votes to get this passed by Thursday?
Progressives say they will block the bill unless moderates in the House and Senate commit to also passing a much larger economic package.
We can't have a situation where the Senate doesn't agree with us. The whole bill has to be agreed upon, written, etc.
The massive bill would cover everything from early childhood education to the fight against climate change, and is said to be the largest expansion of the social safety net in more than 50 years.
Do you think progressives and moderates can come together on the reconciliation?
We have, and we should.
By Thursday?
Well, I don't know about the timing, but, you know, we all work together. Everybody ought to work. Everybody's moving in a positive manner. They really are.
But Senator Joe Manchin, not on board with the bill's $3.5 trillion price tag.
I care about size of the bill. Sure, I did. Everybody.
And 3.5 is still too high for
That's
you.
Pretty high.
And now Speaker Pelosi conceding it's, quote, self-evident. That number will come down.
All right, so let's get to Rachel on the Hill tonight. Rachel, we're aware all of this is playing out, of course, with this potential government shutdown looming as well.
Yes, David, and the Senate held a vote tonight to try to avoid the government shutdown. And moments ago, that vote failed. Republicans choosing to block the measure because it was also tied to raising the debt limit. That is something that they refused to do, even though nearly 98% of the nation's debt predates President Biden's inauguration. A large chunk of that was added on during the Trump administration. If Congress does nothing, the government may not be able to pay its bills by October. David?
A crucial week ahead. You'll be with us every step of the way, Rachel. Thank you. We do have one more note on this tonight. Former President Obama, one-on-one with our Robin Roberts. She asked him about these two key bills, President Biden's agenda, and about the Democrats who so far have not united behind both bills. She also asked about the price tag.
Even within the Democratic Party, there seems to be some divide. How do you think he is handling this particular moment, and what does he need to do to pass his agenda?
Well, first of all, I think the Build Back America program, the package that you describe, is something that America desperately needs. And it's paid for by asking the wealthiest of Americans, who have benefited incredibly over the last several decades, and even in the midst of a pandemic, saw their wealth and assets rise enormously, asking them to pay a few percentage points more in taxes in order to make sure that we have a economy that's fair for everybody.
But should they be concerned that that's how they're going to have to pay for it, in essence?
I think that they can afford it. We can afford it. I put myself in this category now.
Robin's interview with the former president comes as he prepares to break ground on the Obama Presidential Center on Chicago's South Side. What's so different about this center? Robin's exclusive tomorrow morning on Good Morning America. We'll be watching. In the meantime, we turn to the other news this Monday night and to Florida and the urgent manhunt at this hour for a former Marine wanted in the fatal shooting of a sheriff's deputy near Jacksonville, and authorities with a warning tonight that he is likely armed and dangerous. Here's ABC's Victor Akendo.
Tonight, authorities are warning families in North Florida to lock their doors as they hunt for an alleged cop killer.
If you're in a home and he breaks into your home and you have a gun, blow him out the door. Because he's like a rabid animal. He will kill you.
Police say Patrick McDowell, a 35-year-old former Marine, shot Nassau County Sheriff's Deputy Joshua Moyers once in the face and once in the back during a traffic stop in Callahan outside Jacksonville Friday. Moyers was pronounced dead on Sunday, just 29 years old, leaving behind a fiance.
They were planning their wedding, and I just asked that everybody please keep them in their prayers.
Investigators later finding a flashlight and a hat they believe is McDowell's, and a gun possibly used to shoot a police dog during the search. The sheriff's office releasing these images of McDowell's distinctive tattoos, including one across his back, reading death before dishonor. According to law enforcement, McDowell has been noted to suffer from PTSD.
And because McDowell is considered armed and dangerous, several schools in the area were placed on lockdown today. The reward for information leading to an arrest now up to $54,000. David?
Victor Akendo reporting from Florida tonight. Victor, thank you. And now to that deadly Amtrak train derailment in Montana. Three people killed, dozens injured. And the newest clues here tonight with NTSB investigators now on the scene there. Our chief national correspondent, Matt Gupman, is in Joplin, Montana, too.
Oh, my God, it's on its side.
Tonight, the horror of this rail disaster in rural Montana as federal officials urgently investigate what caused this Amtrak passenger train to derail. The NTSB on the scene saying today the derailment taking place on a gradual curve just before a rail switch. The black box revealing the train was traveling just under the 79-mile-per-hour speed limit.
And as they take this train away, you can hear that grating sound and the damaged wheels inside of the train from where it derailed, but they're taking it away slowly. And right inside there, you can see the debris from that derailment.
More than 160 passengers and crew on that train traveling from Chicago to Seattle late Saturday when it derailed. Dozens were injured, and tragically, three people were killed.
Right now, David, investigators are going over onboard video, going frame by frame, including of the moment of impact. You might see all those workers behind me. They're trying to clear the tracks here. This is a key piece of national infrastructure. I'm told there are over 50 trains, most of them carrying grain, that have been held in place across multiple states, waiting for this key rail link to open back up. David.
Yeah, we'll be watching for the ripple effect moving forward. Matt, thank you. And with that train derailment blocking that key rail link across the country, there are also record shipping backlogs at ports on both coasts tonight. More than 50 container ships waiting to dock off the West Coast port of Long Beach. Dozens more stuck waiting off the ports of New York and New Jersey as well. All pandemic-related shipping delays already threatening shopping as we approach the holiday season. And we should note overseas tonight, the fuel crisis in the UK, gas pumps there running dry, long lines at the few stations that still have fuel tonight. They say panic buying is making all of this worse, and behind it all, a shortage of truck drivers and COVID-era supply chain problems there as well. And so ABC's Maggie Rooley from London tonight.
Tonight, the worst fuel crisis to hit Britain in decades.
I didn't think it would be as bad as it actually was until I actually came out on the roads, and it was awful.
At least two-thirds of the country's gas stations now running on empty. A severe shortage of truck drivers leaving pumps dry across the UK.
It took us more than an hour of driving around London just to find a station that was open with gas. And once we're here, this is what we find. More than 100 cars waiting in line.
The UK's lost tens of thousands of drivers this past year, many forced to leave the country because of new visa rules for foreign workers after Brexit, others unable to get a license during lockdown, and some saying poor conditions have led many to leave their jobs. Government officials today claim there is more than enough gas to go around and blame the shortage on panic buying, triggered after BP said it would be forced to ration gas due to a lack of drivers.
And David, tonight the British Army has now been put on a state of readiness with military tankers on standby. David.
Maggie Rooley from London. Maggie, thank you. There is late word tonight that North Korea has reportedly conducted what is likely a new missile test. Reports out of South Korea at this hour say that North Korea fired an unidentified projectile into the Sea of Japan today. Japan believes it was a ballistic missile, the regime testing a long-range cruise missile and two ballistic missiles earlier this month. When we come back here on a Monday night, news this evening about John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot President Ronald Reagan, now granted his unconditional release. The Reagan Library already responding tonight.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems. It's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, a federal judge has approved John Hinckley Jr.'s unconditional release 40 years after the attempted assassination of President Reagan. Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity at the time and was committed to a mental hospital until 5 years ago. His release is now set for next June. Late today, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute issuing a statement saying they are, quote, saddened by the decision and that they will file a motion for reversal. To the index and to a recall tonight involving frozen pizza, Nestle recalling nearly 14 tons of frozen DiGiorno pizza. The problem, they say, involving a soy protein, an allergen for some, not listed as an ingredient for their crispy pan crust pepperoni pizza. We'll have more on our website. Finally tonight here, the Rolling Stones back on stage, but with a tribute first. It was a moving moment last night in St. Louis. The Rolling Stones back on stage, their first public concert without their beloved friend and drummer of nearly 60 years. Paying tribute to Charlie Watts. Watts was there from the beginning, joining the Stones at just 21 years old in 1963.
To walk on a stage and hear nothing except screams is just unbelievable.
Those screams last night for Charlie. Mick Jagger holding Keith Richards' hand, talking about their friend.
This is our first tour that we've ever done without him. We all miss Charlie so much on the stage and off the stage. And we'd like to dedicate this tour to Charlie. So, it's to you, Charlie!
Honoring Charlie Watts. Thank you for watching here on a Monday night. I'm David Muir. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.